Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You can be a podcast of colour. That doesn't make you a category. Mm. So think about what you're saying. It doesn't have to be about race. It doesn't have to be about issues. It can be as well. But just think what other thing makes you different. Because that is initially, that might get you a few like, oh yeah, that's nice. But then it doesn't get people listening because there's more to us than just the colour.
Hi, welcome to Blacktickulate, a podcast series featuring UK young black professionals, where we find out how they do what they do, so you can too. Or not. After all, it is your life.
Guys, the voice that you're hearing is Renee Richardson.
Hello.
Renee
is... me again. Back at it again.
Back at it again with the white Vans.
Yeah, I've got white Vans on today. Some suede boots.
Suede boots. Okay. God, you guys would have heard me wax lyrical about this lady because she's fundamentally the person that kickstarted off Blacktickulate. Ain't that right?
Kind of.
Yeah, well, you did.
Was going to start it anyway.
I was, but you were the catalyst without a shadow of a doubt. In fact, actually, I would love, if it's okay, I'd love to get your take.
Okay.
Like, how did we actually become this? Oh, by the way, guys, it's actually officially our 2-year anniversary.
Oh, yeah. Black History Month.
Literally wasn't it, already?
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Take us back. How we met and like how this started.
It's basically, I was at a party. It was a friend's launch. He'd done something for Converse, a short film.
Yeah.
And I met one of Ade's friends there, who's also Kevin's friend.
Yeah.
Alex. And we were just talking because I talk about podcasts because I love them.
Yeah.
And so it's always my chat. And so she was like, actually, I have a friend who's starting a podcast. She was like, we should connect. I'll connect you guys. And I was like, yeah, do it. And then she did. And then, yeah.
The rest is kind of history. No, yeah. So she did. Shout out to Alex Hayhurst. She's awesome. Hope she's well. But yeah, she pretty much said, I know a lady, Renee. Right, and she works for a podcast company, and she's always looking for podcasters. That's her role, I think. But you know what? You guys should actually get in touch.
Yeah.
And then we met.
We did.
And then you thought I was gay.
I did.
Excellent. And then the rest is history.
I do think everyone's gay, to be fair. Most people,
what?
I think, are gay.
Explain yourself.
Because I worked in a talent agency for 7 years. Actually, the whole thing was 8 years. I worked at 2 talent agencies, 8 or 9 years, and everyone was gay there, so I right. just assumed everyone's gay.
Because guys, you actually, if you look at the backlog of stuff, the content that we have, Renee's actually on the episode, so we did talk about this again, so let's not rehash history.
Yeah.
But I think what was really interesting for me is that when I actually did meet you, I said I wanted to have at least 24 episodes, so I know you had a year covered insofar as publishing. And then I could really focus about, you know, monetizing, advertising, and just growing my audience. And you were like, nope.
Yeah.
You're like, nonsense. How many have you got right now? I was like, I've got about 8 episodes. You go, all right, we're starting because I've got your sponsor. So what?
It's the best way to start a podcast.
Yeah, like what? Like how? How? Do you remember it was NHS
and people should give blood.
Yeah, we did. That was the first time we did it.
Well, you couldn't because you're small veins.
Yeah, wow, okay. Since then, I actually have still been given blood.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Whenever I can, I just need to squeeze the ball to get the blood pumping.
I gave blood this year. Yeah. I need to do it again. I'm due again soon.
Yeah, and I did as well about 2 months ago. Yeah. But tell me how you got a sponsor without me even having any content
out. So, basically, they just wanted to... So I think it's COI, which is the government agency that deal with all of the government campaigns, you know, for the Navy, Army, NHS, you know, anything like that. And they knew that podcasts were a good way to get through to an audience. Yeah, they wanted any shows that kind of appeal to a black audience to give this message of blood donation.
Right.
And I obviously did my search
yeah.
and found nothing. I found four. but none of them were quite right, or they didn't get back to me.
Oh, were they UK-based?
So, yeah, UK. It had to be UK-based. So then I was like, well, I've heard about Ade starting the show. Let's get on it. Because we'd met before and then nothing had happened. Or you'd been, you know, trying to build up your 24 episodes.
Yeah.
So I just thought, right, let's get it done.
What were the other black ones? Because I don't know. For some reason, I had an impression that I was one of the first.
There was 20-something was one of them.
Right.
Half-caste was one.
Right.
And there was one called, which isn't kind of out all the time, but it's called, it's with Irene Agbayi.
Is that Blackchilly?
No. She had one called Two. She, yeah, taller than the average founder. She had one with ZZI4 called
Yes
Two.
Yeah, I know.
I can't remember what it's called.
I know.
But it was on SoundCloud. But yes. It was very like sporadic.
Yeah, I recall. Damn. Yeah, that's gonna annoy me as well.
I can't remember what it's called. It was a good title. But yeah, so they were the four that I found.
Right.
None of them got back to me because, you know, who am I?
Yeah.
But no, 20-something did get back to me, but then she was just suspicious.
Right, gotcha.
Like, everyone back then in, like, what was it, 2014?
Yeah.
Everyone was suspicious. Yeah. Of, like, what, you want to give me money? Why? What?
You want to give me free money?
Yeah. They didn't like that.
Yeah.
But everyone trying to get podcasters to advertise back then was a nightmare anyway. Just trying to explain, oh, you can monetize. They're like, no, we do it as a hobby.
Right.
It's a passion project. Yeah, but you can make money with that passion. No, but, you know, we don't want to compromise the brand. It was so hard, honestly.
Yeah, but, I mean, and I think that was the thing. That was a great thing that the way you sold it to me was like, literally, we won't have any advertising or sponsorship on my show that didn't adhere to the philosophy and the mission.
Yeah. And that's how it should be.
Right, yeah. Well, a lot has changed, hasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I'm not there anymore at that company. Yeah,
right.
But also, like, I contacted, there's a vegan guy called Timothy Sheaf.
Right.
He has a brand called Ethics and Antics.
Ethics and Antics.
Yeah. Okay. And I went to him to start a podcast. Obviously, you've got to have advertisers around it that adhere to his philosophy, because you can't have like a steak and kidney pucker pie ad on an Ethics and Antics podcast because he's vegan and no,
it's just not gonna work. Yeah.
So you've got to, but sometimes brands that advertise, they want to, or companies that do advertising, they think about the money more than the message.
Mm.
Because podcast advertising is only successful when the audience believe what the host is saying.
100%.
So if you're just, if it's an ad for any old thing, it might as well be an ad on TV when you go and make your cup of tea.
Yeah,
you know, it's not really effective. If it's a host-read sponsorship, or you're actually something you're passionate about, or you know about, and that you believe in, the advertising campaign will be more successful. You'll get a higher conversion rate.
Yeah, 100%.
But that's what everyone's kind of toying with still.
Do you want to explain that to people? Because you did put some jargon, host-read sponsorship. What does that
host-read
mean?
Host-read sponsorship is when you're listening to a podcast and the host, whoever's like the talent, they actually specifically tell you about an ad. Mm. So it's the host saying it in the style of their own show, telling you about a brand.
Okay, since we're on to, I guess, the ecosystem of it, what are the other types of advertising?
So now you get audio ads, which are very similar to radio ads. So it's just the you know, the jargon and the blurb that you'd hear on the radio with a little jingle and a blah, 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 blah. Get this insurance now.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you have a little bit of small print that they say really fast at the end. And you're like, what? What was that about?
Yeah, subject.
Yeah, and they normally...
It'll give you cancer. What?
Exactly.
Did they say what I think they
said? Those ads kind of normally annoy you.
Yeah, to say the
least. So you might skip forwards.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So you have those, you have host read, and they're kind of the two versions of ads that you get in podcasting.
And those ones, they normally go like the pre-roll, aren't they?
Got pre-roll, mid-roll and post-roll.
Yeah.
Post-roll is kind of useless because
you've
finished the show.
Yeah.
But actually, I listen to the end because I listen on Apple Podcasts and it automatically deletes if you get to the end.
Does it?
Not that I'm necessarily paying attention to what's happening at the end, but I do let it play out because it just automatically deletes and I don't have to put my hand in my pocket and do anything.
Yeah.
So with audio ads, they can go pre, mid and post, and host reds can go the same. But the most ideal is mid-roll because it's in the middle of the content. You're super engaged. And that is when it's a good point to tell you about a brand.
Okay. Well, guys, you can already tell that Renee knows her shit. Without a shadow of a doubt, I call her Mama Podcast. I don't know whether she wants to ever be associated with a title Mama. But
I've got a dog child, so I have a mum.
Cool. Yeah. Ronnie, right?
Yeah, Ronnie. Yeah. Little Ron.
Bless him. Okay, so let's speak more then about podcasting, but more to the point, like, was this your dream?
So it wasn't my dream. My dream was and is, you know, you never know what could happen, to own a film studio by age 50.
Right. When we last spoke, you said you wanted a vegan cafe.
Yeah.
Look how fickle your dreams are now.
No, I still do want a vegan cafe. That's my retirement. I wanted to retire. Okay. I changed my location. I wanted it to be in Italy, but then Brexit happened, so that's out. So it'll be in England again. But I do, like, my end goal, I would love to have a little cafe and just, you know, just my own little business. That's kind of, I'd have people work for me, obviously, because I'd be old.
Yeah, for sure.
But just, you know, a nice little thing ticking over, a nice life by a lake.
I guess the immediate future
future, I... Yeah, that was one of my big dreams, was to, like, when I started working, I wanted to have a film studio or be like the head of a studio because I love making content. I wanted to make the shows and the films and the things that people don't necessarily take risks on.
Yeah.
That, I feel I could do that with podcasting. I kind of want to, do that with podcasts. I want to make podcasts that people don't want to make. I want to appeal to audiences people don't want to appeal to. I want to put the voices on people don't want to hear. And I just want to make those people accessible and acceptable and just relevant and just in the industry. I want them to just be there, and it's not a thought. You'd be like, yeah, of course we're gonna have a black show, or of course we're gonna have an Indian show.
Right.
It's not an Indian show, they'll just be people.
They're just people.
Yeah, they might, an Indian guy might be doing a dating show because, you know, Indian people date.
Yeah,
it's normal.
Okay, why aren't you doing that now then?
Because you've been working for companies.
We're laughing at it because this was a loaded question, guys. I know what's going on right now. Go on.
So basically, I work for companies that use diversity as a topic. And they will have their meetings and they'll be like, you know, we need a more diverse audience. We need to, like, appeal to the underrepresented, like, classes and people. And so they'll employ me because they're like, you know, that's all I talk about in meetings and when in my interviews. So they employ me. Yeah, we're all about that.
Yeah.
You get there. They're not. They're just like, we need to appeal to diverse audiences. In that same breath, they'll be like, oh, we need to appeal to mums.
Right.
So to them, it's just a topic. Whereas to me, it's a life. It's my life.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have to have a case study of why it's important to hear black people talk.
Mm.
We have money. We spend it. We like to be entertained. So for it to just be a topic in your meetings, you know, that's the problem with all of the industries at the moment, all of the creative industries.
Yeah, I hear that.
Is they're all run by white people, sadly.
So you are going to be officially...
So I'm now out on my own currently. So I try this every couple of years and I get afraid because, you know, money. But at the moment, I am now a free agent and I am not working for no man. I'm working for myself.
Amazing. Amazing. Can I just interject for a second? Guys, honestly, Renee, if this interview, or rather this conversation we're having, doesn't already illustrate that she knows her shit, then I don't know what else will. But she is available. She's a freelance. She's a consultant. So if you have any projects, particularly in the audio podcasting sphere, give her a shout. But sorry, I interjected.
Yeah, so I'm going it alone at the moment. And so this is week one. Just got back from a holiday in New York and like had some meetings there and just reconnected and just, you know, got some pep. And yeah, so now I'm doing it. I've had all of my thoughts and my ideas. I've had them validating, like people are like, yeah, you should do this.
Yeah,
so
100%.
I'm going to do it.
To the point where I'm like, even in myself, in a very selfish way, I'm like thinking, Rene was fundamentally the person, hey, who helped kickstart Blacticulate. And hey, actually, I've never asked you this, and I will do on record, is are we as a brand, are we adhering to the mission that we set out to do in the beginning? And where would you, if you hypothetically was managing it, where would you take it?
I think it is. I think Blacticulate was the first show that I was, that I had a hand in starting.
My next one
was ASOS, so it's good company. But like, I think Blacticulate is staying true to what it like set out to do. I think I'd love to see the audience grow, so more media coverage. I think it's not a brand that's trying to use people, or it's genuinely wanting to build the industry, which is what I'm all about, which I've always been about.
Yeah, it's about community.
There's no industry if we're all against each other and if we're not supporting each other. So the way to build it is to have more shows, more people in it, supporting, pushing everyone forward. I think Blacticulate does that. And yes, I'd love to see the audience get bigger and grow and just do live shows and tours and all sorts.
Amazing. Okay, so there you go. Mm. That's the how. And this isn't necessarily just for Blacticulate perspective. So all podcasters who are listening to this, guys, first and foremost, shout out. Thank you. Mm. But how do we grow?
Super hard.
Look at this. This is consultancy 101. This is the big bucks where it gets paid.
So, no, but here's the thing, because it is super hard to grow an audience, especially when you're independent. And so everywhere I go at the moment, I talk about three shots and receipts, because I really like what Taser has done with those podcasts and obviously the people. And you'll see
this is Taser Black, by the way, guys.
Taser Black. And obviously all the talent like Keith, Marvin, Phoebe, Milena, Audrey and Tolly, they tweet every single day,
right?
Multiple times a day. They are constantly pushing the show out. They've got their hashtags. They've just pushed it out and they made content that people want. And that, I think, did it happen around the same time as, what's that YouTube show?
Swill, no. Michael Dapper.
No, what's the Girls v Boys? Backchat London.
Backchat London, yes.
Well, did they come out the same kind of time?
What, the Receipt podcast
or
Three Shots?
Three Shots.
I think Three Shots was slightly ahead. I don't know, maybe.
It was around.
Yeah.
So I think Three Shots was first, but like it's that kind of crowd. They're giving people. So everyone knows when you get together with your friends, you talk about that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
that's what 100%. We're doing. We're talking. We talk crap.
Yeah, 100%.
We want to talk about relationships. We want to like have a laugh, and that's what we want to do. They gave you a show that does that on records. It's something that you want to listen to. You want to be part of it, and you want to share it. And so you hear it, it makes you laugh, and you share it. They've found a niche in that, and they've found a podcast audience that didn't know they liked podcasts.
Yeah,
they've got an audience that just had SoundCloud that would just press play on something that they were like, this looks interesting, let me press play. Before you know it, they're listening to a podcast, they're sharing a podcast, they're subscribing to a podcast, they're communicating, they're taking part in conversation online. And that's what makes a podcast successful. You can have the big brand, you can have Apple like put you on the homepage and things like that, but does that convert into big longevity of people talking about you online and wanting to hear your content? No, it's about the hosts and pushing and pushing and pushing.
So consistency, cadence with publishing and promoting yourself.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Twitter as a platform.
Twitter's a good one. I'm not on Facebook, so I don't know how that works anymore.
Right.
But Instagram's a good one. Instagram. Just any social media, just mention the podcast, talk about it. Anywhere you can encourage conversation. It is super hard to grow a podcast. People are still trying to figure out how. Mm. But it's about finding a niche audience and making sure the audience that you want to target have it in front of them.
Right.
Which is one of the hardest things. Because half the time you know what audience you want, but you don't know how to get it in front of them. Or you've just gone it's for black people.
Yeah.
That, you know,
because we're all the same, aren't we? Yeah. You and I are the same. We're both black, but we're the same people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Our interests are the same because we're black.
Of course. Says Rene, who was talking about natural deodorants or something earlier on, and I was like, what are you talking about? You stink.
Yeah,
and
I'm joking. But no, we're the same people. I'm on day two, so I'm still fresh. But yeah, it's about choosing a colour. Okay. Is not enough to base an audience for a podcast on. You need to narrow it down further and try and get it out there and find the people who are in those circles online talking, either get them on your show or try and get your show in front of them so they at least listen to it, so they might mention it. It's a lot of work.
It's not easy, it's almost like a full-time profession. But most people do it part-time. And is that why they don't see, I guess, the success that they're hoping to achieve? I don't know.
People think, I'm starting a podcast, it's going to be a hit now. Yeah. It's not. It's going to take time, and you've got to grow your audience, and it takes months and sometimes years.
Yeah.
Like, and that's why it's part-time, because you need money coming in.
You do.
So that's why it helps to, spend the time and not just try and rush ahead and try and do too many things at once with it. Really find your, what's the show about, what's your USP, have that, then from that you build, how am I going to put it out there, how am I going to promote it, from that you're like, who can I get on it, who can I put it in front of, it's levels.
Right, gotcha.
A lot of people, I've met with a lot of podcasters, and a lot of them, I'm like, what makes your show unique, and they're like, oh, I've not really thought about that. And I'm like, okay, so the show is now 6 months old, so really, I mean, we're doing this backwards, but go back and think about what makes it unique.
Yeah.
If nothing makes it unique, add unique into it, see how you can.
But I mean, I think we can almost argue that we all are snowflakes. Sure, yes. I know. I mean, we're all unique in our respective rights, but
if you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Even pop culture and those sort of opinion pieces, podcasts, but it's really difficult to differentiate yourself apart from you being an individual, especially if you're talking about current affairs and stuff like that. Okay. So we were just talking about pretty much how to actually grow an audience. And you mentioned something which is really interesting, where once you've actually found your niche, once you've actually found your core audience, you just relentlessly promote it, push your podcast out there.
But in different ways, because you don't want to bombard. Yeah. So you don't want to annoy people, because I mute a lot of people who, I just unfollow now.
Right.
But who kind of do the same tweets over and over.
Those like bots, don't they have it like on a sketch and bot thing?
I don't know, maybe. Yeah. But it's obvious. Yeah, so don't do that. Yeah. But promote constantly, but in original fun ways.
Yeah.
Conversational ways.
100%, because I always say this, people tend to forget, when it comes down to social, the notion of social is actually, not only is it two-way, but it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
It's like the art of conversation, right?
Exactly.
And no one likes that one friend that's always just talking about themselves.
Yeah. And listen to this.
I mean, we all have that, right? And if you don't, then guys, it's most likely you. So
it's me.
It is you, Renee. She was like, Annie, when I come back from New York, we need to talk. I was like, ah, here we go again. Nah, I'm joking. You're always a pleasure. So what about this notion where you're talking about going offline and touring?
Yes, I think that's a good way to reach out to your audience, same way music artists do. It's a good way, it's a revenue stream that you can get without advertisers, without having an external brand involved. And even if your audience isn't necessarily big enough to make money via advertising, you might have enough fans to, you know, fill a 100-seat venue.
Yeah.
You know, and if you get a good deal, that could be some revenue there.
No, I totally get it, and I think that's phenomenal advice. God, I mean, I'm rich. We really are getting some consultancy here, aren't we? And I'm really
free.
Glad. For free as well. So podcasters, listen. I mean, you are officially not a podcaster yourself, but a producer.
I'm a producer. I kind of dabble. I mean, I go in my friend's podcast. I mean, I'm on this podcast.
Yes, you are. So I appreciate that.
So I've been on podcasts. And I am working on a show that actually I do want to, if I put it out there now, I want to release at the end of this month, end of October. So
exclusive.
It's out there, happening.
Watch this space.
That I've been working on just to, get my work out there.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a platform to share. Like, what shows have you produced?
So I've produced and are currently producing as well. So I've just finished producing, I was put on a producing team with some producers in DC. A kids show, actually, funnily enough.
Right.
A kids sports show. So kids, everyone knows I hate kids.
Okay.
Sports, not into sports. Yet here I was. Actually,
the best woman for the job.
But I really enjoyed working on that show, actually. We were able to make some really interesting content. It was one of the most diverse representative shows that the company has made.
Okay.
So, and I felt you could actually take more risks because it was kids content. Because there was less eyes on you.
Right.
So you could actually make a show you were really genuinely happy with and without trying to make it appeal to like old white men.
Right, gotcha.
Kids are the future. Yeah. So, you know, you need to sometimes go in a bit strong.
Okay.
Because, you know, little Nazis.
Wow.
Are made.
I do not corroborate this narrative.
Little Nazis are made. So you've got to, you know, go in hard.
Iron out the creases. The Nazi creases.
I think it's important to introduce kids to other cultures, other voices, other stories.
Yeah.
I think a lot of parents, well, in America, it's an American show, so it's for American kids. They shelter their kids from any racism, any like thing. Obviously the kids, if you're not a white kid, you can't be sheltered.
Yeah,
but the white kids and the white parents shelter their white children from knowing that exists.
Right, gotcha.
And I think it's important to show that actually it does exist because it's normally the little white kids doing it. So
wow,
yes.
Really, we took a dark turn.
But
pun
I'm just
intended.
Saying I enjoyed working on that show because I think it's important. I think kids content is super important.
And you've also worked on a show, Revision History?
No, I didn't
you
work
didn't?
On that.
You didn't?
No,
oh, I see. They just got
I
your
just
opinion.
Had a, yeah,
okay.
I just listened to an episode, which I'm not going to talk about.
Okay, we won't talk about that. So I was trying to really get you to it. Maybe in the future. And then also you'd produce another podcast, a UK one, right, called On The Shelf.
On The Shelf. Oh, actually, no, I was working on the series. Oh, it's not out yet, so I can't talk about it.
Oh, you can't? Okay.
So I can't talk about that. When it's out, I'll let you know.
But, I mean, fundamentally, you are a podcast producer, content manager.
Yeah, and just...
So that's your business title, right, if that's fair?
Yeah, say be a podcast producer.
So how
slash
does...
consultant
So,
now.
You know, with me... It's all about the professional, right? And specifically trying to get as much advice, tools, resources, tips, etc. So what's the typical route into that profession?
So typically it's the podcast industry, the people working at companies, they're all from radio.
Okay.
So in the UK, it's BBC Radio. Well, yeah, that's the only talk radio. So that's the only radio you could be from.
LBC?
Oh, yeah, LBC.
Yeah.
So they're LBC or BBC producers. And in America, it's WNYC, NPR, and PRX. You know, all the sub little state versions of that. They're all radio producers. I think because podcasting is a different industry, I think it's great to have people who aren't from radio industry in there because you don't bring over the radio rules. Radio is very stiff, very old-fashioned. In, 30 years, 40 years, will people still be listening to radio live? I doubt it because, you know, we're all on-demand kids now.
100%.
So I think it's important to have people who aren't from radio to try and shake things up a bit, because it would be very easy for it to fall into the old rules of the traditional rules of how you make content, how you tell stories, who you're appealing to. And radio traditionally makes it for one type of person.
Okay. So the typical route you're saying is basically radio, first and foremost. But the fact that podcast is actually a new industry.
Yeah, it's new. It's 13 years old.
There you go, guys. So like any, just make it. Just come through. We still don't know the rules.
No rules yet. Like just get in. Okay. If you can get in, get in.
And what kind of, I guess, characteristics, if there are any sort of personality and characteristics traits that kill it as a producer, a podcast producer, is any sort of...
I just think... people who are interested in stories.
In just
any kind of stories. You have to be... I think it's important to love podcasting and to want to make shows. I think there's a lot of people in podcasting who don't listen to podcasts.
Which is insane.
Or who haven't... they're not really that into it.
Yeah.
Which I find weird. It's like working in TV and you're like, oh, I don't even watch it. Yeah. Like, why are you here? Or, you know, in music, you're like, oh, I don't even like music. Yeah, I'm more of a theatre person.
Yeah.
It's like, why aren't you in theatre then?
Yeah.
So, but there are people in podcasting who are like that. And I just think it's important to have a passion for it. To really, I'd say, really want to shake things up, make a difference. Like, have the, like, want to make a dent in the industry. Because it's brand new. It would be like, if you could go back to Hollywood at the beginning, and you could be a film producer. You know, you'd want to. You'd want to make a dent, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Have a legacy.
Yeah, that's what you'd be about. And there's, I don't understand people who are in podcasting who don't want to do that.
Right.
Who don't want to help shape it. Because it's a brand new industry.
So I get it. Shaping it, trying to get a legacy and stuff. Are there any tools that is essential in order to help you do that?
So actual tools, yes. Yeah. This podcasting is can be expensive.
I thought there wasn't a lot of overheads.
There's not a lot. There's initial payouts.
Okay, tell us.
So initially, you need a laptop. So if you're at home and you've got no laptop or computer, you need that. So that can be a cost.
Why do you need it?
Because you need to record and edit the stuff.
Okay, gotcha.
So it's digital. It needs to be somewhere.
Yeah, for sure.
Normally a computer.
Can't just scream outside.
Yeah, you can't just throw it. I've thrown it into the sea. It's going to be out. So you need that. You need mics. So you can use your phone, like your iPhone or your Android phone.
Any like inbuilt mics.
But if you want good quality, have a separate mic. Obviously the more you spend on a mic, the better the quality, but that can come. You can start off, if you get like, spend I'd say like £100-150 on a mic.
Jeez.
You're kind
I thought
of
you're really, gonna start lower than that.
I'd say if you're serious, spend around that on a mic, and then you upgrade like when you have more money.
Right, gotcha.
And then you need a kind of recording device. So you can actually record directly into the computer.
Right.
Sometimes like you can use GarageBand, and that goes if you have a USB mic. If you have like a, I don't know what these mics are called, but...
dynamic mics, condenser mics.
You need a separate recording device. So you could get a Zoom. There's different kind of recording devices that are out there. There's Sennheiser, there's one that begins with M. I can't remember the name right now.
There you go.
But there's lots of different recording devices.
So you definitely need your recording to record.
But they also allow you to be quite fun with your recordings, because you can just take the recorder out, and if you wanted to do vox pops or add a little different element to it, just, you know, when you get more
nice
experimental
and mobile,
you can, it's good to, if you want to go in a bar and interview people, you can just take the one recorder. You don't need to take the other external mics.
Yeah,
you can just take that, and it's just can fit in your pocket.
I get that.
Yeah, so it's good to have.
So producers need to know how to use that, do they?
Yeah, they need to know how to use. Oh, and you need the software. But there's free software. You can use Audacity,
right,
which is free. Download that if you want to have more kind of control and, you know, do more things to the audio, make it sound better. You can use Pro Tools, Logic, or Audition.
Right.
And then there's this thing called...
which one is the steeper learning curve? Which one's got the most functions and features that, if you could learn it, that's the one you really want to use?
Most public radio in America and podcasters in America use Pro Tools.
Okay.
So I would say that's industry standard. BBC use Audition.
Okay.
So that's our industry standard.
Right.
But we know which podcast market we want to be.
Okay.
So,
zing.
So I'm learning Pro Tools.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm using Pro Tools. And there's this program called Orphonic, which helps you master. So if you're not super on sound engineering,
that's online, isn't it?
It's online, yeah. And you basically feed your WAV files into it, you upload, and then it has algorithms that masters it for you, gets you the right levels, the right sound. They call it LUFS for the loudness, and that does it all for you. So if you're not, because I'm not a sound engineer and I'm learning as I go, but if you want it to sound like super slick, you can just put it into Orphonic and it does it for you. You have to mix it obviously yourself a little bit, put on, you know, plugins so that you take down noise and make the vocal sound good. But put it into Orphonic, does it for you. Then at the end, you've got a finished podcast. And they actually give you 2 hours a month for free.
Nice.
2 hours of content a month. So if you're just doing short podcasts, that could be 4 episodes of a under 20 minute podcast.
Amazing.
Under 30 minute podcast, sorry.
No, amazing.
And that's free.
There you go. So guys, everything we talk about, I'm going to put in the description. So if you listen to this on YouTube, it'll be in the description bit. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast from, hopefully it'll be in the description bit.
And or links just, now on the new Apple.
Do they now?
Yeah, you can click on the description links.
There you go. Amazing. And if all else fails and you're listening to this on www.blackticulate.com, there definitely will be links. So no, Rennie, awesome. You've given great advice, really great advice. Is there any, like, what's the worst piece of advice you've been given? Did I say that out or did I mumble?
What's the worst piece of advice I've been given? I'm often told I'm always the, you know, voice of diversity in a company. As you know, I'm the black one.
Black woman.
I'm the angry black woman.
You know, yeah, often. That stereotype, yeah, of course.
And it's more not even angry. I'm just like, guys, come on.
Yeah, I'm angry for you that you get that.
Yeah, but I'm always told, you know, tone it down, maybe see it from their side or that kind of thing.
Right.
Maybe don't say anything. Like one person said, just suck it up. You know, I've been a woman in, you know, companies where I've been the only woman before. Then the person realised I'm a woman.
Mm.
So I've got that as well.
There you go, yeah. The intersectionalities.
So, yeah, so I'd say that's the worst bit of advice because I always think if I'm not saying it, who's going to? It's not going to be the old white guy or the old white woman who's going to be fighting for voices of colour.
Yeah.
So you've got to rock the boat.
Yeah. If you can't speak for yourself, no one will.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So just do it.
Okay. I'm going to give you the free rein before I ask you my light fire questions that I always do with all my guests. But is there anything that we've overlooked from your personal, your professional experience being a content manager, a podcast producer? Yeah. Is there anything that we haven't spoken about that you think people are listening who want to do it?
I would just say always just think of your audience.
Okay.
Think of what is not out there currently. Don't think, oh, I want to make a business show. And you just start interviewing people because there's loads of business shows.
Yeah.
Why would your business show be different? Pop culture. There's so many pop culture podcasts. I love pop culture, so there's always room for more. But what makes yours different? Why would you stop listening to The Read or one of the other big ones in order to listen to yours? You've got to think of that. So it's easy if you just think of shows that people aren't making to be original, because then you've got no competition in that. And then you think, how do I get the... Then you just can focus on how to get it out there rather than, why should they... I've got to make them how stop compete, listening to this one, to that one.
Yeah.
You know? So just think of original ideas.
Okay.
And just take risks. Take risks. You can be a podcast of colour. Doesn't necessarily make... That doesn't make you a category. So think about what you're saying. It doesn't have to be about race. It doesn't have to be about, you know, issues. It can be as well. But just think what other thing makes you different. Because that is initially, that might get you a few like, oh yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, no,
but then it doesn't get people listening. Because, you know, we need, there's more to us than just the colour.
No, I mean, God, I'm just selfishly absorbing all of this and just thinking, am I actually different? As in, is Black Ticulate actually different? And yeah, we probably are. I hope we are.
Yeah.
But guys, if we're not, do let us know. And I'm always about trying to be accountable to you. So, Rennie, you ready for the quick fire question?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Is it just a yes or no?
No, not really. I mean, okay. Listen.
That's what quick fire means.
I don't know. Yeah, it's just one of them words. I say it just because I don't want you to just ramble. I know you can go on for a while.
Okay. I'm a talker.
So yeah, just be pithy with your answers.
Okay.
So if you can give a TED Talks, right? Mm-hmm. anything other than your actual profession, what would it be on? What
dating.
Would it be on? Dating. Wow, okay.
I'm terrible at it.
A TED Talks on dating, how to be terrible at dating. Five easy steps.
What not to do with Renee Richardson.
Oh, I absolutely love that. That is genius. Okay, and I'm going to ask you, geez, this is actually quite pertinent considering. Yeah. So what would you spend your last £5 on?
I'm actually down on, because of my Monzo fraud.
What
just
literally
happened.
Just happened, yeah.
I've got only £3 now. So what would I spend my bus fare home?
Your
basically,
last £3
bus fare, it would be travel somewhere. It would be like, yeah. I need to get home. So it would be that.
Oh, perfect. Because Blacktaculate is all about black action, articulate, and we're all about action first and articulate it later. But we're going to stick on the word articulate.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any word specifically in the English language that you hate, you dislike?
See?
And why?
I don't know. There's no word that I hate, I don't think. Jealousy, though.
Jealousy.
So jealousy is often used wrong.
Okay.
Well, wrongly. Or I'm not even articulate myself, so right. Here we go. But people say jealous, and they're jealous of a thing, and they normally mean they're envious. Jealousy is a really horrible, horrible trait, and you see it around all the time where people are actually jealous and they do want to take the thing from you.
Right.
And it's not like they're envious of, oh, I wish I was doing that, and they'll be like trying to do it themselves, or like they'll just wish they were doing it and then they'll go back home and eat a cake.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
Sad. Jealousy is like where you're just really a vicious and horrible person where you're jealous of someone else's success. And I think this the mean, like, just jealous.
Interesting.
Is horrible.
Speaking of success, who springs to mind when we say the word success for you?
Oh, Shonda Rhimes just went to success.
Yeah.
Just then she came to me.
Yeah.
Shonda Rhimes. Yeah. I'm obsessed with her. Shonda Rhimes, Misty Copeland, obviously Oprah, but
yeah.
Misty Copeland is my new, she's not my new hero. I've followed her career for a long time. Like everyone, like, I don't know if everyone knows, but I did train as a dancer.
Right.
Never wanted to be a dancer, but I did do it. It's good to be able to dance. So I've followed Misty's career for a long, long time. She's just worked so hard. She's broken so many glass ceilings. She is, yeah, the only first ever black principal dancer at a major ballet company. That happened in 2015. Ballet started in the 15th century.
Amazing. That's amazing.
She is beyond.
And she's got a documentary out, hasn't
she?
Yeah,
she's got a documentary called A Ballerina's Tale.
Amazing.
Which is on Netflix.
So guys, check that out as well.
Yeah.
And the penultimate question, and this is one that I definitely would love to know your answer to.
Oh dear, what is
it? How would you like to be remembered?
A troublemaker.
You'd like to be remembered as a troublemaker.
Causing trouble. Yeah.
Say the word. Say it like a complete sentence.
So I would cause trouble. I didn't just take.
I would like to be remembered.
I would like to be remembered as a troublemaker. I didn't just let things happen. If I didn't like something, I stirred it up. I didn't just let it happen. I'm not complicit. I'm a troublemaker.
Amazing. And how can we find you in the World Wide Web?
I am Renee Rich everywhere. R-E-N-A-Y Rich.
And when we do find
you... Oh, I'm not
you,
on Facebook, so I'm not there.
Yeah, yeah. You're not everywhere.
Not everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm just basically two places.
And when we do find you, what can we do for you? Because, again, it's about us together. You know,
yeah,
how do we raise the tide?
I like meeting with podcasters, chatting podcasts, and if they have any questions, I like to answer them, help them out. I produce loads of shows. I do produce for free. I am producing for money too, but I do like to help people, just get them off the ground. I've been doing that for like a while now. And yeah, just anything podcast related.
Yeah, give you a shout.
Or any wellness, because I like wellness tips too.
I like wellness.
Just on the side.
Yeah. And if Fran is listening.
Hey, Fran, hey, yeah. She followed Phoebe. We were obsessed.
Did you?
Yeah, was like, I'd fainted.
Amazing. Okay, Renee, you've been an absolute dream as always.
Yeah.
And I really, really appreciate your time and just teaching us, you know, the essential tips to start really podcasting and hopefully thriving within it.
I can't wait for it to just be a hustling, bustling, vibing.
And you at the
And be at the top. No, joking. Well, in it, in the middle.
You're there. Hey guys, thanks very much for listening to this vodcast. I believe that's what it's called now, video and podcast. Or is it vidcast? Video podcast. Either way, we really appreciate you listening. And if you have any feedback whatsoever, anything good, anything that can make us better, please do leave it in the comment section below. Also, you can get all the info, all the links, all the resources we speak about in the description below. And last but not least, if you are someone who can teach us how you do what it is you do, because Blackticulate is all about empowering and upskilling the community, then please get in touch too. Thanks, guys. You're the best. And stay tuned for another episode.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.